Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul. I worship Your holy name.
My steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God.
And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then Your holy name.
be seated. Thank you, Zane. All right. I will do my best to get you guys out of here on time on Mother's Day. But we need to cover a few questions that we looked at last week at the end of our sermon. We are still in the book of Hebrews, and we're in chapter 3. Last week, I gave a sermon called The Belief of Unbelief. And we're talking about the report that came out that only 4% of Americans now have a biblical worldview. Only 4%. This is the word that sanctifies us. This is the word that is all truth. This is God's breed, literally, is the way the Bible describes itself. And only 4% of Americans believe it now. We're in serious trouble, folks. In that sermon last week, we looked at, towards the end, I mentioned about being good people, and that's what we're going to look at today. But let me show you what we were talking about last week at the end. Hebrews 3, verse 12, "Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief." And the writer of Hebrews connects it to that rebellious generation. That's what we talked about last week. And this unbelief there is what people want to believe in something that is not from here, maybe taken, parts of it taken from here, but they want to believe in something that they create themselves. It's called syncretism, where you take a little bit from all sorts of different beliefs and you kind of create your own belief system that works for you. And if there was no God in heaven, that would be fine. You could do that. But since there is a God in heaven that has defined all of his creation and defined who he is and how we have a relationship with him, you can't make up your own way. That's why Jesus came and Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but through me." And the Bible says now, in times past, God spoke to the prophets. We can read that in the Old Testament. But in these last days, he's spoken this to us by his Son. And we can read his words and what his apostles were instructed to write. So we know the proper way. But people today, 96% now, are going to take and synchronize. Now I got an example here I want to show you. Go ahead and play.
You guys think there's an afterlife?
Yes, I do.
I think the same. Definitely.
Now why do you think there's an afterlife?
I think there's an afterlife because, you know, different energies on this world, different forms of energies. And once one energy dies out, it jumps into another form of energy and continues its path.
What do you think?
I think the same thing. I think when things die, you know, they come back in different ways. I think in life, I don't think anything just dies and is just fully dead after that. I think.
So if you pre-existed?
I think I did pre-exist.
What way?
I don't know what I pre-existed as or what I pre-existed before, but I do think I pre-existed.
So when you come back, who determines what body you come back in, whether you come back as a butterfly, cockroach, or a handsome prince?
I think the higher power does that now. Whatever higher power a person believes in, you know, is on them. But I think a higher power in general is the one that determines that. Because if you look at Earth and the way things work in life, somebody had to set it up.
And what do you think? You seem fairly adamant.
I feel the same. I feel like it's always an afterlife. I feel like everything is passed through generations to come.
You believe in God's existence?
Yes.
And you?
Yes, sir.
And you?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe in Jesus?
Yes, I do.
His words?
Yes.
What about you? Do you?
Yes, I definitely believe in Jesus as well. And like we talked about, you know, everybody comes back in different forms and different, you know, different energies. So God made it a path. You know, Jesus made it a path where everybody goes in their own direction. So, you know, some people worship trophies. Some people worship materialistic things. But at the end of the day, they're following something.
So you believe in Jesus and his words too?
Absolutely. I think everybody has their own imagination or creation of him. I should say their own picture of him.
See, that's syncretism. Everyone has their own imagination or their own picture of who they want Jesus to be or they want the God of the Bible to be. And so they pick. Now, those three men, it's kind of an extreme version of synchronizing. They were synchronizing Hinduism, pantheism, New Age, spiritualism, reincarnation, and they were Jesus, and it was all mixed up. Now, that was, like I said, an extreme, but others have a less extreme version of syncretism. They want to believe in God. They want to believe in Jesus. But let's say they don't want to study the Bible. That's just, they don't have time. But the Word tells us to study to show ourselves approved. The Word is what sanctifies us. But people want to say, oh, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus, but I don't want to study the Bible. I don't really care what God has to say. I don't want to be a disciple. I don't want to go to church or even be part of the church. I might attend, but that's as far as I will go. I'm not going to plug in, ignoring one of the huge parts of the New Testament, which is as disciples, is those who have been born again by Jesus have a spiritual gift. The Holy Spirit brings a spiritual gift into your life, and that gift is supposed to be used here in the church, in the ministries of the church. But many conveniently ignore those parts of Scripture. Because for your spiritual gift to be created in you by the Spirit, you don't get to choose the gift. The Spirit does. The Spirit will manifest this gift, but you have to seek discipleship and sanctification and service in the church for that gift to be manifest in you by the Spirit. But that's too much. So they want to believe, but they want to reject what God has called us to be as disciples in Jesus Christ, as His church. Others say, I believe in God and Jesus, but I don't like talking about it. Have you ever read somebody who goes, yeah, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, but it's my private faith. I don't want to talk about it. Have you ever met somebody like that? My faith is private. I don't want to share my testimony. I don't want to share the gospel. I believe in God, believe in Jesus, but I don't believe the Bible is all true. I believe God is love and He won't judge anyone. I believe I can live out a sinful life in this world and still go to heaven. There's all sorts of syncretism where people take certain aspects of this and then what they want and they create their own belief. And they're sitting in churches every Sunday morning. The belief of unbelief comes down to this. It's the belief of unfaithfulness, the belief of infidelity, unloyal to God and His ways. They'll believe in God, they'll believe in Jesus, but they have no commitment to really follow Him, to follow His Word, to be His church as He defines it, to be His disciple as He defines it. They're willing to be good Christians, good church attenders maybe, but that's as far as it's going to go. They believe in a God who allows them to define the relationship. A God who is usually okay with their sin. A God who allows them to live their own lives the way they want to. And pursue their own interests and not His. This is the big lie. And this is what we've been going over with the youth for, I say, around 2 months now, maybe a little longer, maybe 3 months. The big lie. And the big lie is that you can have your foot with God and you can have your foot in the world. That you can do both. And Jesus was very clear. Jesus said in many different places, here's just one of them. Jesus said, he, she who is not with me is against me. And he, she who does not gather with me scatters. If you're not part of God's plan, if you're not a born-again believer and take your part in the church, then your life as a believer is not bringing, it's scattering. Because you're taking your false version of Christianity and other people are seeing it. And they may follow your version. The one that you synchronized to fit you. Jesus didn't leave any playroom. You can't ride the fence with God. You're either in with God or you're not. God's not going to share you with the world. He purchased you with a heavy price. You are His. One, He created you and gave you life. Now, one of you right now can tell me why your heart is beating, but it is. You can say your brain has given it electrical impulses to beat. Why is your brain doing that? God designed you that way. God's given you life. And then on top of that, He purchased your life with His death. He has every right not to share you with the world. And He also knows the world is going to damage you. He loves you too much for that. So He makes it very clear. You can't have your foot in both worlds. Either you choose to be with Him or you choose to be in the world. either be hot or be cold, but lukewarm makes him sick to his stomach. Kind of, that's what we were talking about last week, this belief of unbelief. And then we got into these final questions, and there's three I want to cover with the little time I have left. Are we here today in church because we are good people? And most everyone got that one. I think Gordon was playing around last week and gave the wrong answer out loud. But I think everyone in here got this. Are we here today because we're good people? No, by far. The Bible tells us in Psalms 14, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. Paul reemphasizes this in the New Testament in Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. That's incredible. How did we end up here then? That's another sermon. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. There is not one of us in here, out there. There's not one good person in this whole world. And this is where a lot of people say, oh, I don't like this version of Christianity. Well, this version is the biblical version. And you need to be humble enough to accept it. Oh, you guys are always down on people. You guys are always judging people. You're always looking down. No, actually, if you get what I say today, you'll never judge another person in your entire life in an improper, unbiblical way. But the Bible never says don't make judgments. You can't help but make judgments. And you're supposed to make righteous judgment. But anyway, you guys think everyone's bad. Well, according to the definition from the Bible, yeah. Let me show you that, but I want to show you this video because most people think they are pretty good. Go ahead.
Are you a good person?
Yes, I am.
Leslie, do you think you're a good person?
I do.
Are you a good person?
I believe I'm a good person, yes.
Clarence, do you think you're a good person?
A great person.
I mean, morally, are you a good person?
A great person.
How are you going to do on Judgment Day? Are you a good person?
Oh, yes, I'm a good person.
What about you? Do you think you're a good person?
Yes, I feel like I'm one of the greatest persons on this earth.
And what about you? Good person?
Definitely.
Do you think you're a good person?
I think so.
Bible says this, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Sin is like breaking, it's like what we call breaking a law. If you break a law here, you're what? Well, no, if you break a law here in the city of Reading, you're a criminal, right? You're a lawbreaker. You're a criminal. You see, when you break God's law, it's called sin. That's why we say we're all sinners from this verse here, for all have sinned. Now, most people think they're pretty good. And we usually say we're pretty good because I'm comparing myself to somebody else. So if I compare myself to Mark, I'm a pretty good person. I'm a great person. Right? We always compare ourselves to somebody. And we can say we're a pretty good person. But see, the scale is not somebody else. It's God. For all have sinned. Now, the law, the Ten Commandments, is God's perfect nature. Why can't we lie? Because why is lying wrong? Because God can't lie. God's too honest. His integrity is too good. God cannot lie. So lying is wrong. So, real quick, done this many times, but how many of you have ever lied in your life? Raise your hand. Okay. How many have lied more than 10 times in their life? Okay. Repeat offenders here. All right. What do you call a person who lies? Liar. Okay. Has anyone ever taken something from somebody else that belonged to somebody else? You stole something. I don't care how small and insignificant value-wise it is. How many of you stolen something in your life? Okay. Some of you that just didn't raise your hand, you just committed the first one. You lied. Okay. So we're lying thieves. How many of you guys were disobedient to mom since it's Mother's Day? How many of you guys disrespect a mom? You guys should be ashamed of yourselves. How many of you guys have taken the Lord's name in vain? How many of you guys have ever coveted? How many of you guys have ever murdered somebody? Now, someone may be busy going, wait a minute, half the church in here are murderers. Technically, everyone in here is a murderer, according to God's standards, because God's standards are higher than just our simple human standards. God says if you hate someone in your heart, you've murdered him in your eyes, in his eyes. You've murdered him. How many of you guys are murderers now? Yeah. We're not good people. We might be pretty good human standard-wise. Yes, everyone in here, probably besides Mark, is better than Hitler. But even Mark's better than Hitler. But we're not good when we look at Jesus. We're not good when we look at God. We fall short of the glory of God. So, if no one is a good person anywhere, why are we here today? Well, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. Verse 24, being justified freely by His grace. Grace is receiving the mercy of God that we don't deserve. Grace is receiving forgiveness. It's receiving restoration, redemption. We're here by His grace, not because we're good, not because we deserve it. Not one person, including me, deserves to be in here. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as a propitiation, an appeasement to His wrath against our law-breaking, our sinfulness, by His blood, the blood of Christ, through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. His forbearance means His holding back. God graciously holds back His righteous judgment on sinners, giving them time to repent. Pass over the sins does not mean He ignores them. No, everything is recorded in the books. Every idle word we speak is recorded. God knows all that we've ever done. He has passed over. He's not ignoring them, not simply dismissing them, because justice, the law of God, must be satisfied. The law is hard. The law does not have mercy. The law demands justice for those who break the law. So He is not going to dismiss our sins. He has to deal with our sins. And that's where Jesus came. An innocent man suffered the justice of the law. So God could righteously and justly pardon our sins. Because the justice was still satisfied. The payment was given for all the laws that were broken, all the sin, by one who was innocent and the only one who could. Because if Jesus wasn't innocent, then His payment for sin would be no good. Because He deserved it. But He didn't deserve it. He's holding back His judgment, allowing people to understand they're not good. But most of the world says, yeah, I think I'm a pretty good person. And some, you saw in the video, think, well, they're great people. There's no one good. And we need Jesus. That's why we're here, because we've been forgiven. We realize we don't deserve to be here, but now by God's grace, our sins are forgiven. The judgment has passed from us and it was put on Jesus Christ. Romans 3, verse 28. God did this to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness. Jesus came and demonstrated He was the perfect sacrifice. He was righteous enough to take the punishment upon Himself, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? Can we boast in anything about ourselves? It is excluded. By what law are you keeping that makes you qualified to be here? What works have you done to make you worthy to be here? No, but the law of faith is simply believing in what Jesus did. And the goodness of Him and the goodness of the Father. by their grace we're here. No one is good. The only reason we are here today is the love and grace of God that was offered to us and offered to everyone who will repent of their sins. It was all offered through Jesus Christ. Do not be deceived. There is any good in us that deserves to be here. And you may be a great person out here in society. Society may look up to you and think you're a great person. Or at school, you may be an athlete or a great student or whatever. And you got good compared, you know, the world sees that you got a lot of good about you. People see professional athletes, well, they got a lot of good things about them, or movie stars. No. In reality, in God's eyes, there's nothing good in anybody. Because we're all murderers. We're all liars. We're all thieves. We're all self-centered when it comes to the truth of it. There's nothing in us that deserves to be in His presence, let alone be in relationship with Him. You got to remember, Jesus sacrificed on our behalf. And without it, we would still be seen as unrighteous in God's eyes. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. But most of the world is deceived that they're pretty good. Neither the fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. They're not going to go into heaven. And I'm pretty sure at least one of those words describes probably everybody in here. We're all in that list. And I love verse 11. And such were some of you. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. When you turn from your sins and you throw yourself on the mercy of the judge of God, He can legally dismiss your sins because the law was satisfied in the death of Jesus Christ. And He can put that to your account and He can pardon you. You're justified, not because you are good, but because one who was good and is good died for you. Are we here today to become good people? Now, this is the second question that kind of tripped some people up. Are we here to be good people? A little trickier. But we must, if we're going to answer this correctly, and I put no, we're not here to be good people, we have to define what good is. Mark 10:18, the rich young ruler comes to Jesus, calls Jesus good, and Jesus turns to him and said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." I think that really kind of defines it for us, doesn't it? Let me give you a definition from a theological, biblical standpoint here. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. To say that God is good means that God always acts in accordance to what is right, true, and good. Now, just understanding that part of what it means to be good. Even as we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we are now believers in Christ. We are righteous in the eyes of God because of Jesus. But how many of you fit that description now as believers? Always act in accordance to what is right, true, and good. Anybody? No. You see, even though we're here now and we've been redeemed, doesn't mean we're good. We weren't good before. No one in the world is good. And we're not good after Jesus Christ. Because good means to always do what is right. Goodness is part of God's nature, and He cannot contradict His nature. Holiness and righteousness are a part of God's nature. He cannot do anything that is unholy or unrighteous. God is the standard of all that is good. So there's none good, no, not one. People say, "Well, yeah, I'm a good person." Well, no, when you start saying you're a good person, what standard are you using? Here we're going to use biblical standards. God is the standard for what is good. Even after we are born again in Christ, we still do not meet the standard of good. We must humbly accept that reality. We still fall short of the good standard of God. We are still not worthy of Him. Even if you become obedient in many things, you are still not worthy of Him. The Apostle Paul, probably the greatest Christian ever, stated it this way, Romans chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, the life that he is living, nothing good dwells. This is the Apostle Paul. For the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, what I want to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. You see, we still have sin, folks. We've been forgiven of our sin. We've been redeemed from our sin, but we still have sin. We're not good. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. Verse 22. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity into the law of sin, to the law of sin, which is in my members, meaning his body. O wretched man that I am. This is the Apostle Paul. O wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. As long as we remain in this life, we will still be sinful. So, we're not good. If you want to see yourselves as good, or we want to see ourselves as good people, now that we follow Jesus, or maybe we're here trying to become good people, or we want to show the world how good we are, that's going to set us up to become judgmental and see other people less than ourselves. And that's what's happened to a lot of people over the years. If you think you're here to become a good person or to show people how good you are, then you're going to start to see yourself as better than them and you're going to look down on them. You need to understand and keep this understanding that you're not good and you are not worthy in and of yourself. And if you're here trying to be a good person, if church is about trying to be a good person, then many people are going to feel unworthy to come in here. If we make this about ourselves, if we say we're here to become good people and to show everybody how good we are by all the good things we do, then there's going to be a lot of people who feel unworthy to come here because they know they're not good. And you've heard people say, I can't go in the church, I'll burst into flame. I go into church, God will strike me down with lightning. Because church is made, became so self-righteous, and we're such good people, and we're better than you people out there, and don't even think about coming in. But see, if the true people in the church stay humble and realize, you know what, we're not good either, and we're only here by the grace of God. Then when we see those people out there, we're going to have a love for them, because that's us. And the only thing difference between us and them is someone shared the truth of the grace and love of God through Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus is not about becoming a good person. It is about being found in Him, the only one who is good. We are not trying to become good people. We are trying to stay connected to the only one who is good, to know Him. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. I'm going to kick it into high gear here. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. The Apostle Paul lost everything. He lost his professional career, all his image, his family, his wealth. He lost it all. He said, I've lost everything for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness. Oh, I can't say I'm good now. No, it's about Him, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship, the relationship, even with the suffering, being conformed to His death. You see, it's not about us becoming good. It's about us knowing who is good and us seeking Him and finding Him and being found in Him and having this relationship with Him. Staying connected to the only one who is good in all of creation. Now, real quick, are we here today to become good people? No. Okay? It should be a definite no. Should we be better than we used to? Yes! I'm not saying there doesn't need to be a change in us. I am from the man I was at 28 years old who put his faith in Jesus Christ, all the sinful, nasty, who I was a wretched man. I am a lot different than I was. But guess what? In God's eyes, by the law, I'm still a wretched man. Just a wretched man who's been redeemed. I'm a lot different, but I'm not good. No one's good. I've been washed, I've been sanctified, I've been justified by faith in Jesus. And in God's eyes, all that wretchedness, even the parts that are still with me that are wretched, are forgiven in God. Will not hold it against me. And that's why I love Him. And that's why we want to worship Him, we want to seek Him, and we understand what we've been forgiven. We're not here to become good people. We're here to seek Jesus and to have Him live in us and through us. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have nothing to boast about. Oh, we could try to say, look at all the good I've done now that I've become a believer. Look, I go to church every Sunday. I read a chapter a day to keep the devil away. I do so much good. I've heard people say things. I probably have said stupid things like that in the past. We have one thing to boast about. And that's Jesus Christ. And that's the cross. And that's the ultimate gift of sacrifice and love. You want to boast about something, we boast about the one who's good, not ourselves. Is Christianity about becoming a good person? Never, ever is it meant to be. If we try to become good people, we will always generate a list of do's and don'ts that we have to judge ourselves by. Right? If we say we're good people, and we create this list and we go, okay, here's the list to prove that I'm a good person. So we make this list and then we judge ourselves by it. And then what do? We judge others by it. Randy. This right here says I'm a good person. This right here. Mm-mm. That's religion. It's ugly. I'm a wretched man saved by grace. I'm a better man than I used to be, yes, but I'm still not a good man. I'm not as good as God, so I'm not trying to be. I'm just trying to be connected to the one. Randy, same boat. We're just fallen men who have been redeemed and now we're connected and we don't want to judge other people. We don't want to create this whole, okay, come here to be a good person. That's not what God calls us to do. It's not about becoming good people. Christianity is about being connected to the only one who is good and learning to be faithful to Him. That's what we're called to be, faithful to Him. And we're going to even fail in that. But we're going to allow Him to live in us and change us and transform us into His image and transform our mind and our guide our hearts instead of our sinful hearts guiding us. We're here not to become good people. We're here to seek the One who is good, to know Him better, to be found in Him. He is worthy. We are not. But if we make Christianity about how good we are, then the focus is on us and not on Him. And then we become judgmental and religious, and we look down upon other people because they're not as good as we are. Why are we here this morning? And I'm going to be done. Team, come on up. Why are we here this morning? Are we here to be good people? No. We are not here to become good people. Are we here to earn salvation? I truly hope no one's here trying to earn your salvation. Now, some might be here to find God, to grow an understanding of God, maybe find salvation. Some people are on that path. That's fine. But we're not here to earn our salvation, and we're not here because we're good or we're trying to become good. No, we are here because of Him, because of Jesus. We're here to seek Him, to know Him, to be in relationship with Him, which I will talk about next week. The rest of us should be here for these reasons. And I'm just going to read them, and then we'll be done. I'll explain a little more next week. The rest of us should be here for these following reasons. We come out of love for Him, because He first loved us. He said, I build my church. I save you to be my church. So we love Him, so we're here. We come out of loyalty to Him who died for us. We come out of obedience because Jesus was obedient to His Father to do what He did for us. And He says, do not forsake the assembling together. So we come to church. We come out of love for one another. This is a huge thing. Jesus loves His church. This is a sign that you're a true believer because Jesus loves His church. He describes us as His bride. Now, if Jesus lives within you, you should love the bride as well. You should love the church and want to be here. If you don't really love the church, you really don't want to be here, you know, there might be a problem there. We come out of love for the lost in this world because we realize the church is the only institution on the planet that is trying to save lost souls. So we come to be a part of that because we love the lost ones because Jesus loved the world, those who were lost in it. We come because it is who we are. In Jesus Christ. We are His church. We're His team. It's our identity. That's why we're here. Next week I'm going to answer this. So what does it mean to be a Christian? Hello, Gordon? So what does it mean to be a Christian? The next one, what does it look like when a person has a belief of unbelief? And what does it mean to have a true relationship? This is going to be the good one. What does it really mean to have a relationship with God? Can you? But for now, this is what you need to take home. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. We're not seeking to be good. We're seeking Jesus Christ. We're allowing Jesus Christ to live in us, to control our thoughts, our tongue, our hands, our actions, our thoughts. And if you do that, if you're faithful to seek Him and allow Him, then you know what? You will do a lot more good than you used to. But you have to realize the good that you do now, the good that is in you now, is not because of you. It's because of Jesus. All glory to Him. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that these simple questions are answered correctly and fully and with understanding for people. We're not here to be good. We're here to be your followers, your disciples. Now, in that process, we should do good. But the good that we do is because of you. And we should always give you the glory. We should never start looking at ourselves and think, wow, I've gotten so much better than I used to be. It's not about us. It never has been. It's always been about you. We were created for your glory. We fell away from that purpose. Sin drove us away, but you made a way back that we could fulfill the purpose we were even created to bring glory to the one who made us, who knows us, who loves us. So, Lord, I ask you to help us get this understanding. As a church, this be our heartbeat. We're not here to show how good we are. We're here to show how good you are. We are not here to look down upon other people as less than us, not as good as us. No, Lord, we're to see them as lost souls like we used to be. And the only thing difference between us and them is your grace. And your grace is offered to them. And so all can come. Whosoever can come. And Lord, we are here because we understand how precious your grace is that we have received. And we are here to serve you and serve your cause. Lord, I ask you to help these simple, simple points this morning sink in. They may be simple to say and understand, but the depthness, the meaning of this needs to go deeper, deep into our hearts and into our minds. We don't want to become a judgmental church. We don't want to become a judgmental person because we think we're good and others are not. Help us to remain humble before you, before one another, and before the world. And we're just slaves here. We're just beggars that have found the bread, and we want other beggars to find it as well. I ask you to help us understand it's all about you. It's all about Jesus in us and through us and not ourselves. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, we're going to go over a few minutes. No surprise. Let's stand up and I'll get you guys on the way. But we need to finish with this song, I believe.
In this obsession, the things this world says make us happy. Can't see the slaves we are in all the searching, all the grasping. Like we deserve much more than all these blessings we're holding. So now I'm running free into an ocean of mercy, unending. So come and empty me, so that it's you I'm free. I want my life to be only Christ in me. I will fix my eyes, cause you're my source of life. I need the world to see that it's Christ in me.
I'm promises make us happy.
That's what it means to be a believer. It's about Christ in us. It's not about us. Moms are a beautiful creation of God. And the majority of them sacrifice so much for their kids. They give up so many things to become moms. As believers, we should be willing to give up what we want for Christ. We should put, you know, this week, be like moms. Moms don't live for themselves. Most the good ones don't. The good ones live for their families. They live for their children. They'll sacrifice for their children. There's even moms that lay down their lives to save their children. As believers, don't go out and live this week for yourself. What a small, insignificant thing to do. Let's go live for the one who created us. Let's go live in everything we do, whether it's school, sports, work, whatever we do. Let's go do it for His glory, that He may get the glory. Let's live for Him. Let's be His team. Let's live for something bigger than ourselves. And we don't have to be perfect to do it. There's none good, no, not one. So stop worrying about being a good person. Just become a faithful one. Seek Him and become faithful. And let Him do the rest. And if there's good in you at the end of the week, praise Him. Because it's what He has done. Amen? Amen. All right, let's break out of here, team, on the count of three. One, two, three. Great, let's go. What you coughing on trying to make my last...